So we saw last time we're on the Chof Hey on the base. We saw that there are two pshatim in what does it mean? What does it mean? Mafricha yainim. Rabbi Yosef, big mazel tov. I hear there's a mazel tov. Grandchild's engagement, yes. Special. Big, big mazel tov to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Works here.
So we saw in the Gemara said that there's two mahalchim how to understand what is the psul of mafricha yainim. One pshat, if you remember, was it's a type of gambling. It's quite similar to mesachik bekuvio, although not exactly the same as we discussed last time. Another pshat was completely different. It's what the Gemara called oro, aleph resh aleph, where basically you're taking the neighbor's birds. Now, why is that just not simple gezel outright? So if you remember, we said, because it's darkei sholim. It doesn't actually belong to him. We're talking about birds that fly here, fly there, fly everywhere. Happens to be they've nested in my birdhouse, but they don't belong to me. Chazal nonetheless said, don't take them for reasons of restoring the peace, darkei sholim. So it looks like it's a type of gezel, although of course it's not real gezel. So that's two completely different reasons. So the Gemara now is going to bring a very lengthy brisa. And we have to do it all in one shot. And let's hope we manage today. I hope we will. Because it's a very lengthy brisa. And the kasha that the Gemara wants to get to is only right at the end. So we're on the Gemara Daf Chof Hey on the base on the fifth line. Meisvei. Says the Gemara Meisvei. Hamasachik Bekuvio. The headline, Hamasachik Bekuvi. Now, let's not forget, we keep on having to remind ourselves that we saw four cases in the Mishnah of Psuli Eidus. What were they? Masachik Bekuvio. We also saw Malve Beribis. We saw Mafriche Yoinim. And we saw Seichare Shvius. So this Bryce is going to go through all four cases and is going to discuss at what point would the person be restored and be considered kosher once again for Eidus. If you remember earlier on, we discussed a similar shaila with regard to somebody who sells treifos. Does he have to go to another town and he has to give back Hashavas Avedo, etc., etc., etc.? So the Bryce is going to discuss every single case, and that's why it's a lengthy Bryce. And of course, we have to home in onto our case, which is what we're discussing at the moment, which is Mafricha Yoinim. So have a look at the Braisa. Meisvei. Number one, Hamasachik Bekuvio. Eilu hein Hamasachakim Bepispasim. What is Bepispasim? So have a look at Rashi. On the third narrow line, Pispasim, Shivrei Eitzim. Pieces of broken wood. In other words, we translate normally Mesachik Bekuvio as throwing a dice. I don't know if they had a dice as such in the times of Chazal. They would throw anything. Pieces of wood. And these pieces of wood, Shivri Eitzim, which are broken pieces of wood, that were their, as it were, their chips. And they would throw them, and presumably, however they landed out, that would determine the outcome of this game. Says the Braisa, Veloi bepispasim bilvad omru. It's not only with these broken pieces of wood, they're gambling on these broken pieces of wood, whatever type of material, el afilu klipe egoizim, nutshells, the klipe rimoinim, or pomegranate peels, right? You can use them as pieces for a game. So you could take some nuts. If anybody thinks this sounds very bizarre, well, anybody who's got young children here in Eretz Yisrael will know that one of their favorite games is what they call gogoim, where they take the pit of a peach and they collect them. I remember my son used to walk around with hundreds of them, which he'd collected, and they used to throw them and into boxes and numbers, a whole business. So you see, there's such a musuk, even though we would consider what's the pit of a peach, you throw it in the garbage. No, they made a whole game out of it. So here too as well, says the Gemara, apparently there's, you can either throw broken pieces of wood or potato or peels of a pomegranate or peels of a nut, whatever you do, if that's what you're doing for gambling purposes, then you're considered a Masachik Bekuvia. Says the Gemara, Ve'eimosai chazoroson. When are they chayza? When are they chayza? What does that mean, when are they chayza? At which point would we restore them and say, now they are kosher for eaters? How are they chayza b'tshuva? Misheyishperu espispaseihem. When they literally break these pieces of wood and render them useless. Ve'yachzru bohen chazora gemura. And they completely rescind and they do not engage in these gambling activities anymore. Da'afilu b'chinam lo avdi. That even for free, never mind for money, even for free as a game, they don't anymore throw these pieces of wood. Not that there's any issa lahalocha to throw the pieces of wood if it's just as a game. But because these people were involved in doing so gambling-wise, so that the way that chayza b'tshuva is to break them up, never use them again, even if it's just as a friendly game, without any gambling for money, at that stage you see that he's completely detached himself from this type of activity, and he would once again be kosher le'edus. Have a look at Rashi. Afilu klipe egoizim. What does it mean, afilu? Even nutshells. Why is nutshells considered an afilu? Even, why is that a chidush? She'ein asuyim lekach. Because they are not made for them. V'akroi ba'alma hu. What does it mean, akroi? It's just a mikra. By the way, I happen to have them lying around. Meaning, these shivrei eitzim, the broken pieces of wood, presumably they were made for that. In other words, somebody had a piece of board, he's got nothing to do with it, so he cut them into shape to use for this game. And that's his standard playing piece. Whereas a nutshell, obviously, nobody fashioned a nutshell into a playing piece. It's just that cray. It happens to be. It's a mikray. He had pistachio nuts on Friday night. He's got some shells left over. So fine, I'm going to use them. So even if it's just a cray, it's just a mikra, that would still consider him posel eidos, unless he's chayza b'tshuva, as we mentioned before. That is case number one. Here comes now case number two. Malve beribis. Echod hamalve ve'echod haloiver. Remember we saw in the previous omud that it's not only the lender, it's even the borrower. If he was involved in a loan which had ribis in it, then both parties are considered to be posel eidos, and this is clearly reflected in the braisa. Echod hamalve ve'echod haloiver. Once again, the question is asked, ve'emosai chazoroson. At which point would they be considered chayza b'tshuva? Mishayikru eshtorehen, when they tear up their document. Which means there was a document in which the malva and the loiva had both signed, I'm lending you $100 on condition you pay me back $120. When they rip up that shtar and they say, no, we're canceling that. V'yachzru bahen chazara gemura. And now they are completely chayza from any type of ribis activity. Afilu lenochri loy mizfi. They don't even lend ribis to a goy. You're allowed to lend beribis to a goy. The Torah clearly says, le'ochicha, to your brother, loy sashich, do not lend with neshech, but le nochri sashich. So what does that mean over here, that even to a goy he doesn't lend beribis? Why is there a chiv to abstain from lending a goy beribis? The answer is, there is no chiv. If you want to be chayza b'tshuva, you've got to be absolutely clean, and you've got to go to the opposite extreme. I'm very curious, by the way. I'm very, very curious. I didn't have the time to look it up. I've just thought of it now. But it's well known that the Rambam writes that when one wants to change a middah, then in order to be chayza b'tshuva, one has to go to the opposite extreme, and then you find yourself somewhere in the middle. And I suggest humbly that maybe our Gemara is to some extent a source for that. Because it's talking about somebody over here who's obviously got a tendency, he's got a chemdas mamon. He's got a chemdas mamon, a desire for money, that's why he's lending beribis. I would have thought, what does it mean to be chayzer b'tshuva? Stop lending beribis. It's awesome. But why would you have to stop lending beribis even to a goy, which is perfectly mutter? Or like in the previous game, we said, in the previous Gemara, don't even use these pieces of wood to play a game, even bechinam, for free without any money. Why do you have to go that far? So maybe this is a source for this principle of the Rambam, that when you want to be chayzer b'tshuva, you can't just pull back and go to the middle. You've got to pull back and go to the opposite extreme, and then you will find yourself in the middle. So I'll call upon him. So here we have somebody who lends beribis in order to be considered a Baal Tshuva. Number one, he has to tear up the shtar which they lent beribis. Not only that, he has to completely abstain from any type of activity which has any trace of ribis, even if I'm lending a goy, which is perfectly permissible, by the way, in brackets, this is not our inyan. When the Torah writes, lo'achicha lo'y sashich, do not bite your brother, but le'nochri sashrich, but to a goy you can bite. The Rambam interestingly learns, chidush, others disagree, that when the Torah says le'nochri sashich, not just it's permitted, it's actually a mitzvah to lend a goy with ribis. It's a mitzvah to lend a ribis. I'll cop on them either way. Most Rishonim disagree and they say, no, it's not a mitzvah, but rather it's just a heta. Either way, when a person wants to be chayzer b'tshuva, he has to go to the opposite extreme. Not only does he have to abstain from lending beribis to a Jew, obviously, because that's osa, but he even has to abstain from lending ribis to a goy, which essentially is mutter. Look why Rashi explains. Says Rashi, da'afilu lenochri, sheyishtakach shem ribis mipihem. So that ribis should completely be forgotten from their mouths. You shouldn't even utter the word ribis. You should abstain from anything to do with ribis. Then desu, because after that, vadai lo yehodri lekalkulaihu. Because then he'll definitely not come back to his kilkul because he's completely clean of ribis. Again, let's not make a mistake. You're allowed to lend a goy beribis. According to the Rambam, maybe even submits. You're allowed to lend a goy beribis. But if we're talking about being chayzer b'tshuva, then the way to do so is not to be involved in any type of ribis whatsoever. Don't even utter the word ribis. And that way you can be rest assured you will not come back to your previous avera. At that stage, we can say he's a full Baal Tshuva, and once again, kosher le'edus. That's case number two. Case number three, umafriche yoinim. What does it mean, umafriche yoinim? Elu shemamrin es hayoinim. What does mamrin mean? Strange word. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, shemamrin es hayoinim, margizin oisam ze al ze lehilochim. You anger them, one against another, so that they should fight with each other. In other words, the Bryce is telling you, mafriche yoinim doesn't mean a bird race. Rather, it's a bird attack, right, one against another. So what do? You're mamrin, you somehow anger them. You get them all worked up and you have a bird fight, a pigeon fight. And whoever wins, well, their owner wins the money. Says the Braisa v'lo yoinim bilvad omru. It's not only yoinim, not only a bird fight. So to el afilu behemo, chayo, va'oif. Of an animal or a wild animal or a bird, any type of game in which I pitch my animal or my bird against yours, we get them all hyped up, all worked up somehow. There's some skill in that, obviously. And then whoever's animal wins, whoever's bird wins, they've won the game. The other one has to pay the money. All of that is included in Mafricha Yoinim. Vehemosai Chazorason. Once again, now for the third time, this question. And when would they be deemed a Chazer B'tshuva? Misha Yishberu Es Pygmehen. When they break these pigmen, what's pigmen? Look at Rashi. Afilu behema v'chayo delav milsa v'shichahu. It's not a very common thing. A more common game, apparently, is to pitch each other's doves. But to have a cow fight is more rare, apparently. It's a milsa delo shchicha. So therefore, maybe I would have thought that wouldn't render somebody postal eidos. No, it does. Even if it's loy shchiach, even if it's not such a common type of occurrence, it doesn't matter. Nonetheless, it becomes postal eidos. You've got to break pigmehen. What's pigmehen? Elu dafin. These are the boards. Shemazarazin bohen. That you remember we spoke in the previous sugi, you've got to bang these boards together. And then the bird hears you and gets you all hyped up. We said it's a bit like whipping the horse. So there's some tool that you use to get the bird all hyped up. And I presume that whilst one bird is fighting against the other, you know how to bang your pieces together. And that really works up the bird even more. And the intent is you should therefore be able to overcome the other. So what's considered tshuva when I break all those pieces? I take my equipment that I use to be mezarez the birds, to anger them, and I smash them to pieces, I render them useless, number one. Number two, the yachzeru bohen chazara gemura. And once again, I completely have to be choyza and rescind from any type of bird or animal or oif type of activity. Da afilu, to the extent that the afilu b'midbar nami loy avdi. What does it mean, afilu b'midbar? So Rashi has an explanation, but Rabbi Yosef, I'm curious. How does Rabbi Artscroll explain afilu b'midbar, even in the desert and an uninhabited area, even then you wouldn't do this game? Why does it make a difference whether it's inhabited or not? Does Artscroll explain?
It has a sentence here, where it is unlikely to find pigeons that nest in coats belonging to private individuals. That's the aura, isn't it?
So this is, he's quoting Rashi. He's quoting Rashi. Look at Rashi. Do you remember we said that there's two types of explanations in Mafricha Yoinim? Either a bird type of race or competition, which sounds like what we've been discussing now, or aura, where you're taking somebody else's birds, but to be perfectly honest, it doesn't really belong to him, it's Darkei Shalom. When this Brisa talks about in the Yishuv, or in the Midbar, it's not common to have, apparently, these wild birds. Birds like to nest where there's people, I guess they can find food. So look at Rashi. Afilu b'midbar deloy shchichi yoinim de Yishuv. Where it's not so common to have the yoinim in the inhabited area. Says Rashi, v'hai pirusha, but this particular explanation only works, l'lishna, according to that loshen, the ora nakitle. We only mentioned it according to the explanation of ora, which means you're taking birds which nest in other people's homes. So then it makes sense to say, in the equivalent sense, that even in, you've got to completely rescind from any type of activities, don't even take birds that are flying around in the midbar. Not only don't take birds from your neighbor, but don't even take birds from the midbar, which, l'chayra, surely there's no inyan of Darkei Shalom, but again, the Baal Tshuva has to go completely to the other extent. But v'lav migufa debraisa hi, it's not actually a part of the braisa. Rather, it's just the Gemara's addition according to that Loshen. And what about according to the other Loshen? Ulalishna, according to the other Loshen, de'i takt me yoynach le'yoyna, where you say, if my yoyna comes first, So how is the person chozer b'tshuva? Ikeleferushes. Then we can explain that. We said before, the chazara gemara means that afilu bechinam nami loy avdi. I don't even do this anymore, even for free. Kedaprishes gabakuvia, like we said before, with regard to mesachik bekuvia. So apparently this addition of how is he chozer b'tshuva, that's not part of the braisa. That's just the Gemara's addition. So if you learn that mafriche yoinim is ora, taking the neighbor's birds, which don't really belong to him, then the way to be chozer b'tshuva is don't take anybody's birds, even if they're flying in the midbar. If mafriche yoinim means it's a competition, so therefore the way you do chozer b'tshuva is don't even have a competition, not with money, you're doing it b'chima. Now the braisa says the fourth and final case. Soichare shviis, this is number four. Elu, this refers to the people shenoisin v'noisnim, who are doing business deals back and forward with trading the peyre shviis. Once again, for the final time, ve'emosai chazorosom, and when would we say that they've been chozer b'tshuva and they're considered now a bal tshuva and a kosher for eidos? What do they have to do? The answer is mitagia shvius acheres. They're going to have to wait until the next shmitah arrives. There's no way you can be chozer b'tshuva 3 years after shmitah. How are you going to avoid? Remember we said in all of this list, the way you're chozer b'tshuva is to show that you're clearly going the opposite extreme, but now there's no ilcha shmita anyway. So how are you going to go the opposite extreme? You're going to have to wait till next shmita. V'yibodlu. What does it mean, v'yibodlu? So look at Rashi. V'yibodlu is like a lashon of havdala, the separate. It says Rashi, v'yibodlu, sheloy yisu v'yitznu b'peiro yisayim. The next shmita, they're going to have to clearly show us that they've separated, avoided doing any type of deals with peyrei shviis, v'yafkaru ganoiseihem la'aniyim. And to the contrary, they are mafkir, as you're supposed to, their garden to aniyim. Clearly, if a person puts up a sign, my field has become hefka, so you see clearly he's been chozer b'tshuva. Because this fellow was trying to do business deals with Shmitah, clearly did not want to be mafkirit. To the contrary, he had payrois of Shmitah, and instead of allowing it to open to the public, he traded it and made profit. You're not allowed to do that. So let's have a look if next Shmitah he does the opposite. He opens up his field to the general public, and then you see the chozer b'tshuva. More than that, says the Gemara, that wouldn't be sufficient. Says the Gemara, V'omer Reb Nechemia, says Reb Nechemia, Loi chazoras dvorim bilvad omlu. It's not sufficient just to be chozer with words. Elo chazoras momoin. You're even going to have to be chozer monetary-wise. What does that mean? Keitzad, how so? Oimar ani. You're going to have to say, Omer ani ploini bar ploini. You've got to verbally declare, I, my name is Reuven, the son of Shimon, kinasti mosayim zuz v'peirei shviis. La shmita, I managed to gain, bring in 200 zuz of peirei shviis, which was absolutely done illegally because you're not allowed to trade peirei shviis, but you're hereby announcing that I, the son of whoever, last Shmita, I brought in profits of 200 zuz. V'hare hein nesunim b'matono la'aniyim. And now that very 200 zuz I'm giving out as a gift to aniyim. And that's what the Gemara says. It's not good enough to be chozer b'tshuva just verbally. You've got to now do so financially as well. Otherwise, how can you say you've been chozer b'tshuva if in your back pocket is 200 zuz, which you gained by trading peyre shviis last time? Have a look at Rashi. Loi chazoras dvorim. Loi mar, merely to say, loi noisif oid. I'm never going to do this again. That's not enough. chazara hanikeres. It's got to be a chazara which is nikeres, which is recognizable. You can see that he's doing something positive, not just something negative. She yefazru peiros shvius. Number one, he is separating, he is giving all his peiros shvius shebegano yisehen la'aniyim. All the peiros in his garden he's giving away to the aniyim. That's one financial measure. And the second, like we said before, any money which he profited last Shemitah from selling peiros shvius, he's now going to give away. So that's the end of the braisa. It's gone through all four cases with a common denominator being, this is what the psul is, and this is how you're going to be chozer v'tshuva. So why is this a kasha? Reb Larry, you wanted to ask something before we move on? One more line?
Yeah. We brought up cases where tshuva is like ribbis, where you're not allowed to take ribbis even from a guy. That shows, right? So why can't they say, even though Shemitah is not for 7 years, and there's no halakha to do Shemitah in year 8, 9, 10, 11, etc., but true tshuva would be if you decide now in year 8, I made a mistake in year 7, I'm going to do Shemitah this year, or in year 9. Why does he have to wait till year 7? We already brought cases where halachically you don't have to do it, but if you go l'mala min ha-teva, l'mala min ha-halacha, you've done tshuva. So it should be the same thing by Shemitah. You shouldn't have to wait till 7. There's no halacha to do Shemitah 8, 9, or 10. But if you want to really show tshuva, even in a year where you're not chayiv Shemitah, you do tshuva.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why this, why Chazal's Eitzah was not a good Eitzah as well. You're saying, why do you have to wait so long? Okay, I don't know. Says the Gemara now, Ketani Mihas. Here comes the question. This is all a very lengthy braisa, almost half an omud, and we haven't even got to the question yet, but now we've arrived at the question. There was one line in that braisa which is troublesome for us, which is difficult, and that's going to present the question. Ketoni mihas. We learned in this braisa, what did it say? Behema, quote unquote. Remember it said that mafricha yoinim is not just doves, pigeons, but even a behema. Even a behema. Now let's not forget, we had two different understandings. What is mafricha yoinim? Is mafricha yoinim some type of bird race or competition? Or is it taking the neighbor's birds, which are not really his, but they've just flown in? So we said it's not real gezel, it's just what we call darkei sholim. Now, if the braisa tells you that the equivalent applies by behema, can we copy and paste both of those explanations on behema? That's the Gemara's kasha. Bish! Oh, sorry, I think there's just somebody knocking my door. 1 second, sorry. Bishloime lemanda omar. According to the opinion that says, itakdme yoinach liyoinom, according to the first opinion that says, it's all about bird racing. Will my come first? Will your come first? Well, then we can apply the same to a behema. So then it makes sense. Hainu de mishkachas lo behema. So the same too can be found with regard to a behema. Presumably, if we can have a bird race, then we can have an animal race, or we can have a bird fight, we can have an animal fight. That makes perfect sense. Elo, lemanda oma oro. But according to the opinion that says we're talking about a bird that flew into my birdhouse, it doesn't really belong to me. It's really a wild bird. You're not allowed to take it because of darkei sholoim. So how would that make sense? How is there an equivalent with the behema? A behema flew into my field? What does that mean? L'chaira, the only way that we can adapt this to behema is when we're talking about a race or a game or some type of gambling. So I can have a bird race, I can have an animal race. I can have a bird fight, I can have an animal fight. That makes sense. But if it's this specific halacha with regard to birds, that a bird who nested in my garden, in my pigeon birdhouse, it doesn't really belong to me, but Chazal say, don't take it because of darkei sholoim. Well, how would that apply to a behema? How can you say that mafricha yoinim applies to a behema as well? Behemas don't go flying into other people's gardens. Says the Gemara. Elo leman da'oma ora. But according to the opinion ora, behema, bas, hochi, he? Question mark. Is a behema of this type? Would it make sense to adapt the same to a behema? So we're going to have to hold it over here, and the Gemara is going to give a simple answer that yes, just like there exists the principle of a wild bird that flies here and there, they can also apply the principle of a wild animal, a wild behema, free, just roams around and maybe also finds itself into my garden, but doesn't really belong to me. And once again, Chazal will say, don't take it because of Darkei Shalom. Therefore, in the final analysis, whatever you say about a bird could, in fact, also be adapted to a behemoth as well. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see more about this tomorrow, all being well.